Joining us now is Dan Neal, automotive critic, Pulitzer Prize-winning automotive critic from the Los Angeles Times. He's in Detroit covering the show and the industry. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hi, John. How are you?
So it's great to talk to you again. And, you know, as I was talking at the top of the hour today, you know, we both grew up at a time when test driving a car was more like experiencing something like this. Oh, yeah. There you go. 427 V8 Chevrolet engine on a 67 Corvette. But actually, if you're road testing Priuses and electric hybrid cars, it's more like this. It's a 5,000-watt hairdryer you plug in the wall. Dan, how has Detroit either preserved or not preserved the sense of electricity in its new car rollouts in the green era? When you go in and test drive some of these new cars, which don't, you know, go from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds.
Well, it's funny because, first of all, the hairdryer is louder than an electric car. one of the things, probably one of the unexpected things that car makers have had to deal with when they look at battery electric technology is how to preserve the sense of occasion when you turn on an electric car as compared to a gas-powered car. So the gas-powered car, you've got the key lock and you go to accessory and then you turn it and the engine, starter turns over and the engine starts. With an electric car, it doesn't make any noise. So they've had to create this little graphic interface, you know, that was called a GUI, graphical user interface, that tells you that the car's on. And so there's that moment when it wakes up. And it's important because otherwise people wouldn't know the car's on. And another problem with electric cars, they use regenerative braking, right? So to recharge the battery when it's slowing down or coasting or during hard braking. Well,
regenerative braking means you use the energy from slowing down and that it gets channeled back into the battery.
That's right.
You know,
when you stop a conventional car, you take that kinetic energy and it is converted into heat in the brakes. That's wasted energy. What regenerative braking does is turn the electric motor into a generator by switching polarity, and then that kinetic energy recharges the battery as you coast or slow down. Well, that means that you have something of a different brake feel. It used to be, you know, hydraulic brakes in a regular car. With these kinds of systems, the brake feel is very, very different. So the tactility of an electric car is very different. They've had to be careful not to alienate people who are used to gas-powered cars. Otherwise, they'll think they drive like big golf carts.
Well, you've tried all these. What's the most exciting? What's the most practical? What do you think? You've done the road tests.
Sure. Well, another thing about the electric cars is they have, because electric motors have all the torque down, you know, as soon as they are on, they have tremendous acceleration. They run out of top speed pretty quickly unless you have them geared up properly. But electric cars are very fast in acceleration. So, for example, the Tesla Roadster, which people are excited about in California, it goes from 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. And it does so with just, you know, kind of this strange humming sound. So the aural qualities are very different. But the nature of batteries is that you can have a lot of power, that is a lot of output, or you can have a lot of energy, that is range, but it's hard to get them both together. So typically electric cars fall on the X and Y axis depending on what the manufacturer wants to do. For example, Mitsubishi iMiEV, it's a little city car that they make in Japan with a fairly small battery. It won't blow your socks off, but, you know, it'll go for, you know, 100 miles on a charge. And so that's really, it's much more sensitive to their intentions.
That's the macho, goes 100 miles on a charge, more than the, you know, corners really, really well, or, you know, will beat everybody else on the block to the stoplight or something like that, right?
I don't know. I think, for example, Dodge is making they want to build a Dodge EV. sports car, and that's going to be a super fast car. You can make a fast electric car, and that's no problem. Fisker is a company that's started by Henrik Fisker. His car has got 400 horsepower, electric horsepower, and it's a big, long, exotic electric. No one's driven it yet, but it's going to be a very aggressive driving car.
And are you confident, before we go, that Detroit's sense of itself from the muscle car era is translatable into the green era of responsibility and not wasting tons of energy?
I think the takeaway, if I may, is that...
go for it, dude.
Is that you can have you can do a lot of things with electric power in cars because the components are small. You can move them around in the chassis, so you've got a lot of styling opportunities. You can go fast, you can go far. If you're willing to spend the money, you can do both. Oh, and by the way, before you go, you mentioned cars that wake you up. Mercedes-Benz just unveiled a car that has a drowsiness warning. It monitors the driver's eyelids, and if they flutter or they stop paying attention to the road, it'll a little coffee icon will pop up on the dashboard and tell you to pull off.
Oh, that's great. We could actually use that installed here in our studio. Daniel, thanks so much. Automotive critic for the Los Angeles Times, Pulitzer Prize-winning auto critic covering the Detroit Auto Show, where electric is new, different, and macho.
Thanks, John. Bye.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.